is Coil Field Equipment versus New Tech System. You may proceed.
Good morning, Your Honors. I'm pleased to support. My name is Wayne Colton. I represent Plaintiff Appellant Coil Field Equipment, Marketing, Inc. I would like, if I may, to very, very briefly touch on the areas of evidence of infringement and use of the specification to arrive at the meaning of disputed phrase, processing according to frequency, and then with the Court's indulgence, I'd like to spend the majority of my time on what I believe to be the real issue in the case, the non-existence of disclaimer or prosecution history, estoppel for analog techniques. With respect to evidence of infringement, I just want to point out to the Court, I believe that some parts of the record where there is evidence of infringement may not have been clearly identified or put in the appendix, and I just want to point that out for you. As to the plaintiff's contention that there exists competent evidence of equivalence, there was the Dr. Nutter declaration in the appendix at A 1949 and 50, and that continues in the record at 1951, a little beyond that. There's also, of course, the plaintiff's motion or opposition to the motion for summary judgment. The discussion in there is in the record at 1931 through 39, and the citations to the declarations, including Dr. Nutter as well as Brian Edens. Also, I want to just comment briefly on as to the question of whether or not the defendant's equipments do include analog filtering to the extent that may be important after this appeal. I note that on page 20 of their brief, they seem to back away from any admission that they do any filtering at all. I just draw the Court's attention.
Let's look at claim one. It's a means plus function claim. We've got to look at the specification.
Yes,
it
sir.
Talks about digital structure. Why aren't you limited to digital structure?
Claim 20 does not include that limitation.
Talking about claim one, do you concede that in claim one you are dealing with a digital structure?
And statutory equivalence, yes, Your Honor.
And so you'd have to hang your hopeful hat on statutory equivalence.
Not with respect, with respect to claim one. That's
and correct. With regard to claim one and the idea of statutory equivalence, are you suggesting then that an analog signal processor can be a statutory equivalent of a digital signal processor under 112.6?
Yes, Your Honor, we are.
But in the specification, the patent goes through and articulates very clearly the large number of disadvantages of using an analog signal processor to complete this task, not the least of which is continuous user would be required to monitor to look for frequency changes. So given the fact that you've clearly articulated why not to use an analog signal processor and the ways in which it is operating it very differently, why don't we rule as a matter of law it's not an equivalent because you said it wasn't an equivalent in the patent?
Your Honor, I don't believe that's what the patentee says in the patent. And I spent, I think, the majority of the principal brief discussing that where the patentee discusses any disadvantage with respect to analog equivalence, the disadvantages have to do with more narrow claims. This is definitely a multifaceted invention. This is much like the Phillips case the court heard en banc, where there was a single embodiment given that suffices to enable every possible aspect of the invention. But the broader claims, for example, claim 20, doesn't require that. And there's plenty of testimony.
But you've appealed claim one also. And so
yes,
you suggested that the language of claim one should be read as extending, and if I understood your answer to Judge Rader's question correctly, that you only claim the embodiment of digital signal processing as the means structure disclosed in the specification, frequency filtering by digital means, and that you're claiming analog signal processing is equivalent there too, and that's how it fits within the claim construction under 112. So, are you conceding now that they're not equivalent? And you keep wanting to go off to claim 20,
No, Your Honor, I'm not. I mean, statutory, you look to the disclosed embodiment. The only disclosed embodiment is indeed a digital filter.
Why are you adopting that position? It seems to me that that's not even the best position for your case. And tell me, maybe I'm missing something. Why aren't you telling me that an analog signal processor, although discouraged, is actually disclosed, and therefore you don't need to reach the issue of equivalence under 112.6? I thought that's what you were going to say when I walked in here, and you've actually said the exact opposite. So why is that?
In fairness, I don't believe that to be the case, Your Honor.
Okay, so you don't think you've disclosed an analog signal processor as a structure?
I think there's discussion of an analog signal processor.
No, good, it makes my job easier.
We're looking at both claims, and we're going to read the specification to understand the meaning of those claims, why shouldn't I be persuaded by this language in column 2, line 45, that it's an object of the present invention to provide a pipe tester that employs digital signal processing? Digital is emphasized right there as the object of your entire invention.
Your Honor, I'm working from recollection at this point, but I believe, as we pointed out in the principal brief, it says digital signal processing for particular reasons, and those particular reasons correspond to the narrower claims which are dependent upon claims following the analog to digital conversion.
But I'm focusing in on the language now that you're characterizing your entire invention as digital. It's an object of the entire invention. Entire isn't here, but present invention is what it says, to employ digital signal processing.
Your Honor, I think that's an unfairly restrictive reading of what that paragraph says. That paragraph
that's
says...
That's what Judge Rustani focused in, though, on that, among other things, in the specification. Right?
I think it's apparent that Judge Rustani was perhaps influenced by the amount of times that the digital was discussed and that analog was perhaps discussed as being disadvantageous for the narrow aspects of the invention and did not differentiate between them. The invention, in fairness, there are 33 separate inventions in this application. And wherever the patentee discusses any disadvantage of analog in techniques, those disadvantages are discussed with specific reference to something that is claimed in the more narrow, admittedly digital aspects.
Can I take you to another place that I'd like you to address? And this is right at the outset when you say that more particularly, but not by way of limitation, your invention is a method and apparatus that employs digital signal processing. Once again, you're focusing in on digital. What credibility should we give to your kind of passing comment that that's not supposed to be a limitation?
Again, I'm working from...
Well, this is your patent and your record.
I understand. I didn't write the patent. But certainly, you know, I recall, you know, the principal brief, and you must read the paragraph in its entirety.
Well, the paragraph focuses it again on digital signal processing. There's no mention of analog. Analog is later disclaimed as being inferior technology. But I'm wondering what weight you would urge us to give to this passing, not by way of limitation, phrase.
Well,
you want us to put great weight on that, I presume.
Well, of course, Your Honor. I mean, they're discussing parts of the invention. There are certain embodiments of the invention definitely are digital in nature.
But then as you read the entire specification, it dwells over and over again on digital processing as being superior to analog, as my colleague was pointing out earlier.
I think once you get into especially the detailed description of the embodiment, the word invention is used one time, and the introduction to the detailed description of the preferred embodiment says it's a preferred embodiment, this is a way to do it, and everywhere else they say is in this particular implementation of the invention we use this digital. And it makes sense in an invention that's complicated not to write multiple preferred embodiments or not to satisfy the enablement description requirement in two different ways.
In this modern world, isn't the digital analog distinction a pretty clear one? And haven't you pretty clearly identified your invention with one wing of that pretty significant dichotomy?
If one wants to do every aspect of the invention right down to claim 33, it must be done in an embodiment that is digital in nature. It is not necessary to do that in order to practice the invention as claimed in Claim 20, and certainly that would be an equivalent in our position under Claim 1, absent some disclaimer.
I was going to move to another area. So.
I was going to go to prosecution history.
Could you go to prosecution history?
I certainly could.
In particular, do you have the appendix with you there?
I do.
You might want to get that, because there's specific language that I at least was interested in having your response to. I think that's the problem. You might want to get the appendix.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm looking at page 1175 through 1176 in the appendix. And I wonder if you could help us with the language that's at the bottom of 1175, distinguishing Fowler and saying that it does not perform any digital signal processing. And then again on 1176, first paragraph and the second paragraph, it says that rhetorically, applicant respectfully asks the examiner, where in Fowler is it taught or suggested to digitally signal process according to frequency? Why don't those constitute disclaimers of analog?
Certainly, yet this is at least confusing, and this at least should give a reasonable competitor cause to investigate this further. And one might think that there might be some disclaimer in here. I point out before we get to that language that the express ground for traversal given on 1124 is that the applicant traverses on the basis that Fowler et al. Did not disclose, teach, or suggest the
1174.
Process. 1174, yes, sir. Introductory paragraph. The processing of signals according to frequency of classified signals by type of irregularities in the Ferris box.
It's frequently the case that one will distinguish a prior reference on several different grounds. But if those are presented as independent grounds, we generally take them as independent disclaimers.
Why
shouldn't be in this case?
The problem we have here, Your Honor, is that the applicant discusses, again, multiple claims. The rejection of 33 claims is addressed by the patentee in this particular case in 3 pages, and really about 3 minutes.
1 and 20. I guess those are still 1 and 20 in the ultimate patent.
Yes, Your Honor. No amendments.
Specifically called out at the bottom of page 1175 as being, in effect, not subject to Fowler by virtue of the immediate preceding sentence, which refers to the digital analog.
Yes, Your Honor. And the problem is, in preceding that particular sentence, again, there's an argument that makes no mention of digital. And, again, this argument says the claim invention frequency processes induced magnetic field data, and then we have this troubling language again in the argument utilizing. So now he's saying how he did it, and one must look at this argument is saying what they do, but then it also says how they do it and why they do it, and the argument is drawn to a group of claims, including claims 2, 7, 15, 18, 25, and 32, which in my opinion probably are digital.
In addition to 1 and 20.
Because of further limitations, in addition to claims 1 and 20.
You're in your rebuttal time. Do you want to say something to that?
If I might have just one other comment, Your Honor. This gives us cause to think there might be some disclaimer in there. Cyber tells us that we shouldn't just be looking at this. Cyber tells us to look at the context of the arguments. Context of the arguments certainly would include the multiplicity of the claims that are there, but also one must look at Fowler, and this is very important. Fowler does not disclose filtering. Fowler does disclose digital techniques. Fowler is replete with disclosure of digital techniques, taking a signal from Hall effect sensors, converting it to digital, processing it according to frequency, computer processing it. And if it's not the frequency processing, if it's digital that distinguishes Fowler, and reasonable competitors should be investigating this. If it's digital, if Fowler has the frequency processing, digital doesn't distinguish Fowler. Fowler has digital techniques in it. What Fowler lacks is signal processing. I'll reserve my 29 seconds.
Okay, thank you very much. argument will come from Mr. Maddox.
Good morning, Your Honor. My name is Ken Maddox, and I represent the Appellee Nutex Systems Incorporated. I think the court has already honed in on where the major dispute is and where I disagree with the position of the appellant.
The language right at the outset of the patent says we shouldn't look at digital processing by way of limitation. Should you take that literally?
I don't believe so, Your Honor, because I think what you would end up doing is creating a magic phrase that would end up in the beginning of all patents. I don't mean what I'm about to say is the literal or the figurative translation of what they say here. So I would put very little weight on that because of the way they go on.
Digital. Well, they seem to, with that language, be trying to embrace more than just digital processing.
If they do, I don't believe they get that job accomplished because they then hone in on digital filtering throughout the specification and in response A, which you referred to in the exhibits 1174 and on. So I think when you start to read through the patent, and starting with column 1, 41 through 46, column 2, 11 through 13, column 2, 13 to 16, column 2, 46 to 52, column 13, 56 to 58. These are all references that we're talking specifically about digital signal processing. What does this device do? What does this invention do? It uses digital signal processing to classify by frequency to classify two classes or categories of defects that you can find in oil field pipe, one being flaws and the other being wall loss. The art before it simply goes to using analog methods to try to find these flaws, and they don't do it in real time. That's the inventive matter here, and that's what the inventor's talking about. Now, let me mention as an aside that Mr. Colton several times referred to competitors, a reasonable competitor. These are competitors who are litigating this. And I would suggest to the court that when a competitor looks at this patent and looks at this record, he's left with the thought that what's being claimed here is digital signal processing. From one end of the patent to the other, that's what's being talked about
not
here.
Not quite to the end of the patent, because the claims don't. One.
Oh, well, true enough. Through the specification.
It struck me that the way that the process is described in the specification is digital filtering, frequency filtering, and the way it's described in claim one is frequency filtering. So with an almost conspicuous omission of the word digital.
It is interesting that he doesn't use the word in the claim itself, but it's in the specification.
Okay.
And you don't separate the specification and the prosecution history out from the claims, that they all work together.
Well, but most of this patent is dealing with the preferred embodiment, which is digital.
Correct.
And so the majority of the recitations from the specification you just gave us suggested that the preferred embodiment would be digital. That wouldn't necessarily limit the claim, which could be broader.
True enough, but then when you look at response A, filed by the patentee, he very clearly hones in on digital. He's using digital to get past...
You're talking about in the prosecution history?
In the prosecution history, at 1170, starting at 1174. Now, in the third full paragraph, where he suggests that Fowler does not disclose, teach, or suggest the processing of signals. He doesn't say digital, just says processing signals. That's he's quoting his own claim language there. But then he goes on and talks about digital. I'm looking on page 1175 toward the bottom. The claimed invention, frequency processes induced magnetic field data utilizing digital signal processing techniques. He's using that argument to get over Fowler.
What do you perceive to be the advance in the art that this patent represents?
The advance is to take digital signal filtering, the frequency, You can then find these in real time. Up until this time, you could not inspect a pipe in real time.
This, now I think if I ask that same question of Mr. Colton, he's going to say, yes, the signal processing part of that's correct, but why does it have to be digital?
Because prior art would have done it analog and was not able to do it in real time.
I think his argument is that Fowler didn't do the signal processing. It may have done some digital, some analog, but it didn't do the signal processing.
Fowler did a comparison, if you will, setting a baseline and then checking the pipe and then making a comparison between baseline and the signals that were generated by using the Fowler mechanism.
It did not do frequency filtering, I take it.
I don't believe it did.
Okay, that's...
So...
And your response... Mr. Colton's last point, I think, when he was arguing, was that you have to read this passage that we've been focusing on to distinguish Fowler on the grounds that Fowler does not use digital processing to conduct frequency filtering. Reading it together, that's a distinction which doesn't rely solely and expressly on digital versus analog.
Except, Your Honor, he does use the word digital there, and he didn't have to.
Well, I think he means that's true. But if I say I don't have a green bicycle with plastic rims, that doesn't mean I don't have a green bicycle. You know, he's using one sentence in which he's talking about two different things. And it's what do you think we should look to try to determine whether he's disclaimed both of those features of that sentence?
I would look at the entirety of the response, not just the one sentence. I think we always get in trouble when we focus in on just one sentence or just one piece of the puzzle. But I think when you look at it overall, it's clear he's disclaimed analog and focusing on digital. I mean, his question, where in Fowler is it suggested to digitally signal process according to frequency? Either the induced magnetic field or what was originally there. And I'm citing page 1176 there. Now, one of the other things that has come up, I think, is that we have this, like much of law, this intention between the patentee's rights and the public's rights to know. And just as we would take a contract and construe it most strongly against the person who wrote it, here I think we have to look at this with a critical eye toward the person who could control the language used in their patent and in their response to the examiner. I think for him, for example, one of the things he cites in his very opening, Mr. Colton mentioned the Edens deposition, or the Edens declaration. Well, Mr. Edens is one of the inventors. And there is, as you know, certainly case law that says we look with a skeptical eye toward declarations of inventors. They do have, as they say, a dog in that fight. So what I'm suggesting here is that the competitor, the public, ought to be able to read this document and have some reasonable idea of what's being talked about. And I'd suggest to the court that what we're talking about here is the digital signal processing by frequency. Now you'll notice also, for example, in figure 9, it shows the implementation of digital filters. We've already talked about the argument in response A. We've talked about the advantages. He spends a lot of time in the very early part of this patent talking about the disadvantages of analog systems and how his is a superior system to that. But what makes it superior? It's the implementation of digital signal processing. You'll notice that the three arguments which the parties had agreed on, and I would point out to the court, there's no intercommunication on the accused device. between one signal and the other. His is basically directed to one signal that's split out into two. There's no dispute that we're not talking about literal infringement here. It's only talking about by equivalence. As you know, this is the this is argument-based estoppel that we're talking about here and what Judge Rosson focused on. Here, it's so different between what they've disclosed in this patent and what they say their patent is and what the accused device, the record will show what the accused device does. We think that because they show flaws in the prior art, they identify and criticize analog. They show that it's significantly inferior under Schwong versus Putzmeister, and the SciMed case this court decided. I think they meet those tests to say that there has been a disclaimer that's both for one and for claim. In the case of the prosecution history estoppel, it has to be clear and unequivocal. I think it's there. I think that disclaimer is there. I don't think there's anything inconsistent in this patent between what he argues in response A and what he says in the patent. And I think this court has to look at it that this patentee who comes before you was in charge of writing this patent. And you have a bare responsibility if there are perceived ambiguities. It would have been nice if he had said all the way through, every time he says signal processing, he said digital signal processing. We most probably would not be here today. But he didn't. And that's, they say, what makes lawsuits and appeals. We believe that the Judge Rosson had it right. She had a claim construction right. Summary judgment was correctly granted, and that this case should be affirmed. I'm answering any other questions the court may have.
Thank you, Mr. Maddox. Mr. Colt, you have 30 seconds or so remaining.
Get on my mark, Your Honor. Quickly, I would ask you to look at the claim differentiation, claim 7 and 25, where digital is added as a dependent claim to claims 1 and 20. And as to what a reasonable competitor would find unequivocal, I ask you to look at the defendant's own expert's testimony in the record at 1025 through 1027, as well as the plaintiff's expert at 884 and 1108 through 1109. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you very much, Mr. Golden. Our next argument is Dermer versus Department of Transportation.